chambers of the disciples in recent days. It was the room where they had shared the Lord's Supper. It was the room where they'd made their way to the Garden of Gethsemane. The disciples had been in that room when the risen Christ revealed himself to them. And it had become that place since the crucifixion and the resurrection where the disciples seemed to be drawn together as they waited and they prayed and they tried to figure out what the future was going to bring. Peter made his way through the quiet streets of Jerusalem. He was startled again by that sound. There was a time when he would have ignored it completely. After all, he'd heard it his whole life long, wherever he happened to be. That sound was always there, but for most of his life, that sound was just part of the background noise of Jerusalem or Judea or Galilee or wherever he found himself. Once he would have completely ignored that sound, but that was before. That was before the arrest and the condemnation and the crucifixion of Jesus. Now, every time he heard that sound, he cringed. What did he hear? The sound of a rooster crowing. And every time that rooster crowed, he was reminded of the most shameful night of his life. That night when he had denied the Lord, not once, not twice, but three times. And then he heard that sound, just like Jesus said it would be. And from that night forward, every time he heard a rooster crow, all he could think about was, I failed him. I denied him. I was afraid, and so I turned away. He died. And I wasn't there. Even though he had seen the Savior since, he knew the power of the cross was broken. But he still heard a sound of fear and failure and despair. Peter knew, even if he is risen again, things can never be the same again. After all, how is the Lord ever going to trust me? How is the Lord ever going to accept me? How is the Lord ever going to love me? When you have failed the way I failed, there's no way the Lord's ever going to want anything to do with me again. His lying words and his cowardly actions would always stand between himself and Jesus. And this is what I think. And as he walked through the door of that upper room where the others were sitting, he heard that cock crow yet again. And I think something broke inside. I think he reached that point of ultimate despair. And he walked into the room and he looked at the others and he said, I'm going fishing. Understand what Peter was saying to them. He was not saying, so I'm going to get a pole and I'm going to get a line and I'm going to go sit beside the sea and I'm just going to think about things for a while. What he was saying was this: no matter what happens next, I'm done. It can never be the same for me. I don't know what the risen Jesus has in mind, but this is what I know. Whatever his plan is, I can't be part of it. All I know to do is go back to the life I used to know. All I need to know to do is go back to the boat and spread the net and start living like I never knew the Lord. He was so miserable, I don't think he even cared that the others got up and decided they would follow his example. Essentially, as they made their way to the Sea of Galilee, they were all walking away from what Jesus had been doing in their lives for the last 3 years. They were all saying, let's just go back. And Peter was the leader. What Peter didn't know was this. He was on his way to a divine appointment. He was about to encounter the Lord in a way that would be transformational. They went down to the shore, they got in the boats, they cast the nets, they spent hours uselessly trying to catch something that wasn't there. While they were fishing, there was a figure over on the shore, but they weren't really paying any attention to that man. They were trying to catch fish. When they did notice him, they didn't recognize him, but it was Jesus. The risen Lord had come to them right where they were, right in Peter's pit of despair. That's where Jesus showed up, because he had a plan, and it was a plan to restore a broken man. And the lessons that Peter would learn from Jesus that day are the same lessons that you need and that I need and that we all need in those times when we really make a mess out of our lives. In those times when we really slip and fall, in those times when we choose to sin against God, in those times when we begin to think to ourselves, how could God ever love me? As many times as I've messed things up, as big a mess as I've made out of my life, how could God ever want me again? And if that's ever happened in your life, and if there's ever been those times when you thought, I think I just need to give up, then the Lord has a lesson for you that you need to learn today. And this is how Jesus began the process of bringing Peter back to a point where he could use him again. The first thing Jesus did is this. He reminded Peter of where it all had all begun. This is what the Bible says. It says, then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? And they answered him, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. And they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of fish. They found themselves trying to manhandle this catch into the boat so that they could bring it to the shore. And there were so many fish that the nets were just too heavy to handle. It was incredible. Just a moment ago, they had been casting their nets on the left side, and there was nothing. Now they've cast on the right side, and it's more than they ever could have imagined. And the Bible says it was then that John recognized what was happening. It was then that John realized what was going on. And he looked at Peter and he simply said, it is the Lord. And when he said that, Peter remembered. Peter remembered what it was like at the very beginning. You remember Luke chapter 5 tells the story of how Jesus made his way down to the shore one day, and the crowd was so big that he needed to get into a boat to cast out so he could speak to the people, and he sat in Peter's boat, and he taught the people, and when he was done, then he said what? Cast that net on the right side of the boat. And there were so many fish that Peter and Andrew had to call John and James to come help them get the catch to the shore. And it was also the day when Jesus said to Peter, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. That was the day when Jesus changed everything forever. When they left the seashore that day, the Bible says they left the boat and they left the nets and they followed him. In other words, we're leaving, but we're not coming back. And yet here they were, 3 years later, back where it all started. They needed to remember what the Lord had done. So Jesus took Peter and he carried him back to that encounter. Remember what it was like, Peter? Remember how astounded you were? Remember what you heard me say? Remember the call I placed on your life. Follow me. Sometimes that's what the Lord does in your life and in my life. Sometimes in those times when we are discouraged, sometimes in those times when we are defeated, the Lord takes us and He carries us back so that you can remember how your walk with Him began. He knows when you need that memory. He knows when you have failed. He knows when you're struggling. He knows when you feel like you've reached the end of your rope. He knows about those times. And He knows that you desperately need the hope that comes from remembering what He has done for you. In your life and in mine, there come those times when we begin to wonder, am I going to make it to the end? Is God going to be able to find me faithful? Are my sins going to get in the way so that the Lord can't love me the way He wants to love me? And in those times, He has to take us, and He takes us back. Sometimes He takes you back to that moment of salvation in your life, and you remember what it was like when you said to Jesus Christ, "Forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. Give me everlasting hope." Sometimes He takes you back to one of those moments when He was so real it seemed as though He were right there with you physically. And He did transformational work in your life. Sometimes He takes you back to those other times when you were hurting and when you were struggling and when all of a sudden the Lord came and He fixed it. And He takes you back so you can remember. God has a way of working with broken people, because let's face it, we've all made a mess out of things at some time or another. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now, we say that verse all the time, but we usually say it in a salvation context. But the truth is, that's a day-to-day reality, isn't it? All of us know what it's like to go through those times when we just fall short. When we choose to do wrong, when we rebel against God, all of us know what it means to say, "For all have sinned." Years ago, back when Sir Arthur Conan Doyle was writing the Sherlock Holmes novels that he wrote so long ago, he was also famous for his practical jokes, and sometimes he did things to folks that just really scrambled up their lives. Stories told that one time Sir Arthur Conan Doyle decided to choose an evening, and he sent a telegram to 12 of his dear friends. All 12 of these were very successful men. All of these were known for having sterling character. They were all known for being the kind of folks that were the bedrock of the community. This is what he wrote in that telegram. He said, "Leave at once. All has been discovered." The next morning, 9 of those 12 had left London for other places. Why did they do that? Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Who knows what you might do and what I might do if we got that letter that said, "I know exactly what you did." What do you do when your sin and your failure are catching up to you? Where do you turn to escape the stranglehold of guilt? What happens when you hear the rooster crow in the depths of your own life? Jesus has the answer. He says, "Remember what He has done for you." Instead of focusing on your failure, focus on His faithfulness. Think back to how your walk with Him started. Remember the joy that you received from following Christ. Go back and think about those times when being close to Him was the only thing that really mattered to you. Remember when His forgiveness overwhelmed you. Remember the biggest lesson of all. It was never about you being good. It was always about Him being faithful. Jesus carried Peter back to the beginning so he would know, "I wanted you then, and I still want you today." When you go back to the beginning, you discover that God's still there, and He's not letting you go. After Jesus carried Peter back to the beginning, then he renewed his call upon Peter's life. Peter thought he had only one choice: learn to live without the Lord. I'm going fishing, because the truth is the Lord is never going to be there for me again, because I have failed him too deeply. His only option was to go back to the way it used to be. And Jesus knew what Peter had to learn, that Peter could never be content again to be a simple fisherman. There would never be a time when he went back to his life without the Lord and could find contentment and could find rest and could find any kind of satisfaction. Because now he knew what it's like to walk with Jesus. Now he knew what it's like to be touched by his life. Now he knew what it's like to be transformed. How do you go back from all of those things? The truth is, once you hear his call, you'll never find fulfillment anywhere else. I've known people throughout my life who thought you can turn around and go back again. I've known people who seriously followed Jesus and then thought, you know, I'm just getting too caught up in this. I think I'm going to go back to the way I used to be. People who thought they could choose other things to take his place. But this is what I've seen in the eyes of all of those people who thought you can turn around and go back again. Emptiness, superficiality, fear. You can't leave him without consequences. Because deep inside you know the only way that works is to follow him. The only way that works. Jesus was not finished with his broken disciple. Listen to what happened after they got to shore. Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153. So here's my question. Why do you think the Bible reveals that number? Do you think it's that Peter stood there long enough to count the fish, and that was so impressive that it just needed to be in Scripture? This is what Frank Pollard conjectures. He says maybe that number, 153, really doesn't refer to the amount of fish that were found in that net. Because this is what he says. He says the wise men of that age had determined that if you counted the number of species of fish in the ocean, guess what you would come up with? 153 different kinds of fish. And maybe what the Bible is telling us is, and there was one of each of them found in that net that morning. Could it be that as he counted the fish, Peter was remembering his call? Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." That he wanted Peter to remember he had been called to serve the Lord by reaching men with the gospel. And could it be that Peter was still commissioned to take the gospel everywhere to everyone? Nobody left out. The variety of fish may have reminded Peter that Jesus died and rose again to save lost people of every nation, tribe, people, and tongue. That call had not died on the cross or been neutralized by Peter's failure. The Lord still had a purpose for his life, a plan to reclaim him, and the same thing is true for you and me. If you're about to give up on yourself, if you ever reach that point of thinking, God can never use me, nobody's ever made the mistakes I've made, nobody's ever committed the sins I've committed, God could never restore me, then you need to hear a word from God. Romans 11:29, which says, "For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance." What does that mean? That means God is never sorry where you're concerned. God never looks at you and says, "I wish I'd never known you. I wish I'd never saved you. I wish I'd never empowered you. I wish I'd never touched you." He will never give up on you. Once you've heard His call to follow me, once you've heard His call, His commission to share the word, there's never a time when He's going to say, "I'm sorry, that's it for you. You've used up your chances." You know, of all the things I remember being told when I was growing up, I think maybe one of the most damaging things that I heard said in church over and over again was, "When it comes to you, the Lord will give you just so many chances, and then He's done. And if you haven't trusted Him by then, you've used up your chances." You know what the Bible tells us? God will give up on you at the moment you draw your last breath. But until that moment, He is always calling your name. He never gives up on His own. That's why the next thing that happened is so important. The Bible says, then Jesus restored the relationship. He made things right between Himself and Peter. Yes, He reminded Peter about the beginning. Yes, He wanted him to know the call was still there. Yes, He wanted him to know, "I haven't given up on you." But the Lord knew Peter still had a broken heart and a wounded soul. He still knew he grieved for the way he had disappointed his master. That he was broken over his own failure. And that's why the Bible says when breakfast was over, Jesus made time for a private encounter with Peter. The Lord invited Peter to join Him for a walk. You remember that conversation as they walked along the side of the sea? Three times the same question, "Peter, do you love me?" Three times the same response, "Lord, you know that I love you." And three times the same challenge, "Feed my sheep." What was Jesus saying to Peter? I think He wanted him to understand, "I still love you. And more than that, I'm ready to trust you again." "Peter, do you love me?" "Lord, you know I love you." "Okay. Things are good between us because you know I love you." "Peter, are you ready to serve me again?" "Feed my sheep." In essence, what He was saying to Peter was simply this: "We're going to pick up where we left off. We're going to go back to that place where you failed desperately. And we're going to take that out of the equation. And I'm going to begin to use you again, just like I always have." Jesus wanted Peter to know that restoration was personal. That's why there was nobody else there. It was a conversation between two people. Because Jesus wanted Peter to know, "Peter, as far as I'm concerned, this is personal. This is about you. And this is about me. And I want you to know the relationship is healed." Finally, Jesus confronted Peter with a decision. Remember where all this came from? Not very many days before, he had denied his master three times. Not very long before, every time somebody had asked, do you know him? Are you one of his followers? Do you belong to him? No, no, no. He cursed them and said, no. And then the master died. Today, all that was being forgiven. But the Lord knew this. Peter still needs to make a bold decision. It's not enough to just restore the relationship. We got to restore the discipleship along the way. So Jesus said to Peter, I want you to begin again. I want you to serve me again. Let's forget this idea of going back to fishing. And let's get back to my call on your life. But Peter, before you do, there's something you need to know. And he was honest about what the future would bring. Peter, if you follow me again, if you commit yourself to me again, I just want you to know this. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and you walked where you wished. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. And this he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. What was Jesus saying to Peter? He was saying, Peter, if you choose to return to me, you need to understand there's a price to pay and it's coming in the future. If you follow me, you're going to be rejected. If you follow me, you're going to be in prison. If you follow me, you're going to find yourself in places where people don't want you there. And eventually, you're going to die for my sake. Wow. What do you do when Jesus says to you, all of those reasons you ran away the first time, they're still out there. If you choose to return, you're going to have to pay a big price. And then he offered him a chance to get it right, to make it right again. Because after he said to Peter, you follow me, you're going to suffer. You're going to struggle. You're going to die. I think the Lord stopped right on the side of the shore. And he looked his broken apostle in the eyes. What do you think he said? Follow me. And he did. And the Lord used him in incredible ways. But he struggled. And he gave his life for the sake of the gospel. In those times when you have know you failed the Lord, you need to understand. He still loves you. He can forgive you. He'll restore you. And he'll use you again. But you have to be willing to pay the price and hear the Lord say, follow me. You know, it's not in the Bible, but I can't help but think that one of the things that changed that day in Peter's life is that he left that place and he went back to follow and serve the Lord. And every day he would get up and he would walk in the pre-dawn hours of Jerusalem. And he would hear that rooster crow. But now what he heard was restored. 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 Because that's what he does. When we go back and remember, and when we hear his call, and when we restore the relationship, and when we hear that bold challenge, we are restored. Is that what you need in your life today? Maybe you're here today and you're not a believer, you're not a Christian, and you need to be forgiven and you need to begin that walk with Christ. And maybe today, as we sing our invitation hymn, it's a time for you to slip up your hand and say, yes, I want to know Jesus. So I can see you and our staff can see you and we can talk to you and help you come to know Him after the service. And maybe God's calling you to be a part of this fellowship at First Baptist. And the same thing, you can say, I just want to join. I want to be part of what God's doing. But it may be that you're here today and what you really need is not to raise your hand. It's just to have an encounter with Christ. Maybe you need to look at some of those places where you've drifted, some of those times when you've fallen, and you just need to say, Lord, if you'll restore me, I'll follow you wherever you lead. Let's stand together. Let's sing our invitation hymn. And I do look forward to seeing you tonight when we come to a fresh encounter, experiencing revival at the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow together now for our closing prayer and then our final song. And Father, we do thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you don't ask us to be perfect. You just ask us to be yours. And Father, in those times when we fall, and Lord, in those times when we sin desperately, to know you're waiting there to make things right again and to put a fresh coal on our lives. Follow me. Help us, Lord, to be obedient in that call. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you.